Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Stephen and I are together in the Cleveland studio after much traveling for both of us. We are in town. Good to see you, friend. It's been a while.
Yep. And then I'm on. You are
on the road tonight. Shortly,
and then I'll be Columbus in Kentucky this week myself. So the voyage continues.
The voyages continue. I'll be back to Baltimore. So you brought up this situation in Russia that I didn't know anything about until you brought it to my attention. But fuck's sake, dude.
Yeah, it was ugly. So I saw it. I saw reports of it kind of early, I think yesterday, or maybe the day before. My days are blurring together. I apologize. But so these sort of extremists, militants, whatever you want to call them, they walk into a giant concert hall in Russia. And they just start shooting people. I mean, it looked like something out of a movie, Die Hard movie or something along those lines. I mean, you just have these armed gunmen that just mowed people down with, semi-automatic machine guns. And then, there was a lot of close-up video early that has since been removed from the net. But I watched a guy walk up to a person and slice their throat. Then they blew the building up, and then apparently they just kind of walked out. Now the story is kind of there's
it's coming out of Russia.
So well, it's coming out of Russia, right? But you've got conspiracy theorists out there that are already you've got people in the U.S. that are saying, "Oh, this is the CIA," or "Oh, the U.S. was involved," and like it's crazy how ridiculous the far right is, right? Because you have people on the far right that are saying that the CIA planned this. And that this will drive Putin to retaliate against the U.S., and then that pulls the U.S. into the Russo-Ukrainian war, and that was the plan all along. Like, whoa, right? Now, mind you, a sect of ISIS has already taken credit for doing this, right? And they put their video out and everything else, and what happened with the guys who actually did it, they just walked out, they got into a Renault, the car. And then they got pulled over for something else, and then they realized it's the guys, and they were taken into custody, and now Russia is being adamant that they were driving towards Ukraine, but the guys are Turkestanian nationals with ties to ISIS, and there's a video of a Russian detective, I guess, cutting off one of the guy's ears and then making the guy eat it. That video has been...
What?
Yeah, I watched the video. He cut the guy's ear off and then made the guy eat it. They took that video down off of X. Apparently that's the line for Elon Musk, which...
That's another discussion.
And Ed, I feel like the line should be well before someone eating their own ear. Look, if you're... This is such a weird situation, right? Because...
What you've described is fucking insane.
Well, they go in, they shoot the place up, and then they blow it up. 130 people dead. The Russian police, Russians are bad, right? Like, and we say that kind of generally, but it's not... probably a fair statement. I don't know how much I would trust the Russian police with an investigation, but when it's their own people being killed, right, in such a brutal way.
We used to do segments of crazy shit in Russia.
Yeah.
And we were never disappointed.
Right. And so, this isn't, a Russian cop cutting off someone's ear and making them eat it feels pretty on brand, right? And it's tough to be critical because of just the brutality of what happened. And you could sit there and talk about human rights, civil rights, all that other stuff, but this is Russia, so they don't really care about our thoughts on civil and human rights, right? Evidenced by the fact that Putin just, offed his own political rival and with no repercussions, Navalny. So the whole situation is just a complete mess. you know, we know that Russia has turned up the heat on, you know, firing into Ukraine over the last day, you know, as if to send a message like, you know, the Ukrainians partnered with ISIS to launch this attack. I don't know. You know, and there's a lot of, again, speculation, conspiracy theories on, you know, it's a lot of it is that somehow the U.S. was involved in this. Now, it needs to also be stated that I want to say the State Department or the U.S. Embassy from or like in Moscow, something along those lines, put out a notice that about a month ago that there was a planned attack in Russia. Now, it's not uncommon for the U.S. to let Russia know, like, hey, something's about to happen. You guys need to, like, pay attention. Russia has done the same for us in certain instances. Us alerting them that we got, you know, we, you know, like us getting, that we have intelligence that something might happen. You know, people are taking that to mean like, oh, well, we knew what was going to happen. We planned it. Guys, no, you got to understand. We got a spy network all over the world. We got, you know, people that are reporting back to us in all way different shapes and sizes, right? Like, so it's not a surprise that we would get some information that's that could possibly hurt either an adversary, a rival, or someone, an ally or a friend. Either way, especially if you didn't do it, you want to warn them and you're like, hey, this is coming. You need to prepare for it. Right.
It's, and if you, it's not us.
Right. And it's not us. Right. Like, so like you, if we were going to do something like this, we probably wouldn't have warned Russia that it was coming. Right. Now, what Russia does, that, yeah. You know, what Russia did with that information, that's a whole other conversation. Right. But I mean, it's still just really, it's, I mean, it's fucked up. You feel for the 130 people that died. I don't know. Like, it's again, I don't know what, like, why did ISIS do this? Why did they attack Russia? You know, like, the, like, Russia's got a sordid history with the Middle East. They've got, you know, there are parts of, you know, what was old, the old USSR that's heavily Muslim, that you know, took a lot of abuse in years, right? Like, there's all sorts of, like, connectivity here that really has nothing to do with the United States. Right, like, and I think it's crazy that people are just jumping to, oh, it was the U.S., it was the CIA, it had to be. I'm like, guys, like, look, we're not the only dicks in the world, right?
There's, I know, kinds of people in this world,
right? We may be one of the biggest dicks, but we are not the only dicks, and there are other dicks out there that don't like Russia, who is also a dick, by the way, right? A lot of dicks slapping each other right now, and we don't happen to be one involved in this dick slapping situation, is my opinion.
I'm trying not to go Team America on you.
Please do.
Please
do, because we both love that movie. Because it's so ridiculous.
And yet, it's so real. But yeah, dicks fuck pussies, but dicks fuck assholes.
Yeah.
All right, this is getting stupid.
Why should we trust him? Because he sucked my dick last night. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Such a stupid movie. Oh, I also love South Park.
I watched that recently, and I was like, this is fucking hilarious.
I know. Anyway, sorry, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you get a chance, go watch Team America. It'll make you feel better. about something. I don't know what.
You know what? It'll make you feel better. Not for the right reasons, necessarily. Because it will also expose some realities that have not changed.
Yeah.
In any event, now we've got our own issues, domestic issues, where the government shutdown just seems to be just a kick the can. Well, they use the expression kick the can down the road, and now it could not be more real. Like, it's literally, all right, here's 2 more weeks. Oh, here's another one.
Continuing resolution after continuing resolution. Look, I mean,
and Mike Johnson was threatened by Marjorie Taylor Greene to get kicked out of his speakership, which is hilarious.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene has kind of lost her, like, you know, they made their big play to kind of punt Kevin McCarthy, which Marjorie Taylor Greene had some leverage over him. She exhausted that leverage, and now she has no leverage over Mike Johnson, right? Like, he doesn't give a fuck what she says. That is evident by his complete lack of acknowledgement of her existence, right?
Fair. I've criticized the guy. I'm not a Mike Johnson fan at all. He's a fucking
psycho.
There's that aspect. But at the same
time,
and
his son check each other's fucking web histories to make sure that they haven't been watching porn.
What?
He and his son have access to their, like, browser history. It's like an app And then every day they check each other to make sure that one isn't that the other isn't watching porn. This is something that he does every day.
I'm not.
Like, the guy's a fucking loony bin. Like,
let's put you and I in this conversation.
On each other's brother's history?
Yeah.
Okay.
Neither of us want to see that shit.
I would love to see yours.
Which I... Okay,
I guess I would absolutely use it against you.
You're making yourself...
Largely
true.
Mine's not great. Mine's not great in, like... But I feel like in this day and age... Here's the thing. No bullshit.
The fact that you said...
In this day and age, right? Like, I don't even know how much that shit matters. Right? Largely because of Trump. Right? Like, probably get you fired from if you're a teacher, right? And if you're a low-level, mid sort of guy at some sort of, you know, like at some engineering firm or something, maybe some news, weird news gets out, you may get fired. But, like, I feel like we're at a point now where, like, the standards have been kind of very much eroded, right, in terms of what's acceptable and what's not. And, like, because I feel like it's funny. Here's a true story. I'm gonna pull a curtain way back, which I think you know this, but maybe you don't know this.
I'm almost afraid right now. But
go on. A guy reached out to me on Instagram, right? Because I think I was showing my toe shoes or whatever that I work out in, and he said, "I'll send you $75 if you send me like videos of your feet."
Okay, I do not know this.
Okay.
Though I do know that's a thing.
All right, no, so it's totally a thing. So this is totally real, right? Guy on Instagram reaches out to me, said, "I want to, you know, send you $75 if you send me videos of your feet." And I'm like, "What do you want in these videos?" Right? He's like, "Just your feet, right? Like, if you could, like, record yourself taking your socks off, right? Just using your toes on each foot, right? 2-minute video, I'll send you $75. So I'm like, you know what? What the fuck, right? I got a cash app or one of those where it's relatively anonymous. So, okay, fine. So I do it, right? Record myself, like, and you can't see my face. All you can see is my feet, right? And that's why I did it, because I'm like, what the fuck? If this gets out, what are you going to say? Oh, my God, your feet are on the internet. My
feet are hideous, by the way. So they are.
Great. Mine are flat and, like, veiny and big, although they're not hairy. My feet are very smooth. Real weird. But anyway, I made the video. Sure enough, sent the guy to him, and he sent me $75. And he said, "How about this? Every week, send me a 3-minute video, right, asking me to do different shit with my feet, and I'll send you $100. So I said, "All right, fine." So I did it for like a month. This dude sent me like $500 over the course of a month for me to do like random shit with my feet, right? Like pour water over them, like put lotion on them, right? Like outside in the grass. So I'm like, okay, fine. What harm is it doing to me?
I agree. Look, if you want to pay to see my nasty
feet, right? Like, if you want to pay to see my feet, fucking fine, right? And so then the guy is just like, "Look, I like, thank you for everything that you know, for sending me the videos. I'm starting to run a little low on cash." And, then he asked, like, if we could meet. And then I was like, "Nah, bro, I'm not fucking meeting you. Nope. And that was, like, the end of it.
Do you have any idea where he lives?
No idea.
Okay.
Don't care.
Right? And you know, your ability to defend yourself is pretty well established.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, it just, like, you know, I don't know. So, but I just, like, so some of it... how the fuck did we get on
exactly
this?
Exactly what I don't know. Ask.
Anyway.
Steve selling foot picks was not on the whiteboard. or anywhere in my consciousness whatsoever.
Oh, because of Mike Johnson. Because Mike Johnson's a fucking weirdo.
Well, first of all, you said Mike Johnson. First, I heard my Johnson. I'm like, okay, this is going in a totally different direction.
No, there's nothing weird about Mike Johnson. It's pretty...
Mikey Johnson. I know. Stop. Okay. It's a preemptive act.
So with the government shutdown, so
kid porn or whatever the fuck.
So he makes a deal, right, that prevents the government from shutting down. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, kind of gets upset. She's done with them. Guess what? No one cares about Marjorie Taylor Greene anymore, right? She's trying to stay relevant. I'm sure she is upset. I'm sure she wants this to happen. It's just that no one else cares. I don't see them pushing him out. Like, I mean, it was a shit show to get him in. And who would
take 11 votes?
I think it was closer to like 15.
Okay.
It was something absurd, right? It was double digits.
And it was a guy no one even fucking knew existed until, like, okay, yeah. I gotta jam this guy through.
And, you know, so, I mean, and realistically, if they ousted, who would want that job, right? Like, you've been through, you know, like, at that point, you would have been through two speakers in, you know,
8 months or whatever,
whatever it is. It's just like, you're
not. Jim Jordan was not crazy enough to get the job, so they gave it to someone else.
No, I think it was too crazy.
You're probably right. Yeah.
Not even too crazy. It's just that you look at him and it's just like, I think even they had to acknowledge that he didn't have the qualifications to be speaker. Like,
Jim, I've got a trivia question for you. Between you, me, and Jim Jordan, who has the most bills proposed in Congress? The answer is it's a tie at zero.
Dude, you know what's crazy?
Fucking nothing.
If you think about the work I've done over the last like 5 years in housing, I'm probably closer to having a bill in Congress than he is.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's literally not a joke on either front. He has proposed nothing, and
he's a fucking clown show.
And I think everyone acknowledged that, like, which is why he didn't get it, right? I mean, like, he's a guy with a high profile that they use as a mouthpiece. He gets attention. He gets on Fox News. But I think that even the Republicans said, you probably can't really do this job because you're not really even good at the job that you have now.
Which you're not going to do. Exactly. You're not going to.
So, all right. It's the problem is you've got the Republicans who are in obstructionist mode. Right? Like, their whole thing is just stall them out till we can get Trump back in office. And, you know, we feel that we're going to blow the Senate away, we're going to have control of the Senate, and then we can hold serve with the House, right? They think that they're going to have a clean sweep of government come November 24. And that is why they're in this mode of we're just not going to do anything. But I think even now they recognize, at least Mike Johnson recognized, look, if there's a government shutdown, we can sit there and blame Joe Biden. We could blame the Democrats. But I think even Mike Johnson and the few somewhat rational Republicans that are left know that if there's a government shutdown, it is solely on them. Right? Like,
and it's burned the Republican Party in the past. I mean, yes. I'm dating back to the 90s.
Right. I mean, like, but I even think that even if you separate all that, if you just look at a snapshot of where we are right now, they would get killed. Absolutely kill, and it's not going to
in 24.
Right? If they shut the government down and it ends up hurting people, and it's extended shutdown, you know, over the course of weeks, and you've got service members losing paychecks, and you've got, you know, the trash building up on the streets again, and all that other shit that happened. Because remember, government shutdown, it heavily affects D.C., right? District of Columbia. It's, does not roll off the tongue well.
I don't know why you still...
Right, and then, you just kind of go down the line in terms of the people that it impacts. It's an ugly situation that I think that they know they don't want. And so Mike Johnson knows, like, he's like, look, I got to save us from us in this particular instance, and I have to make a deal. I can't make too good of a deal that makes the Democrats look good like they've won anything, but I've got to do enough so that we avoid this sort of blow, or none of us are going to be in office when it comes to 24. In a way, kind of good on Mike Johnson. Again, it shows just the lack of sway that Marjorie Taylor Greene has. Yes, it's kicking the can down the road, but like when you have a dysfunctional government where, you know, like the House is just a mess of not doing anything, right? Senate basically has their shit together, but like again, that's only half of the House,
and it's also barely, by the way.
Yeah, barely. This is what you get.
There's the Tommy Tuberville's and the J.D. Vance's out there.
But this is what you get. You get this sort of kick the can down the road sort of deal while you have this dysfunctional government going on, and that is why, you know, Democrats need to make a hard push. They need to have full control. They need to get control of the House. They need to get, you know, maintain and extend their lead in the Senate, which I don't know that they can actually do, and have the White House so that even if it pisses off half the country, you can at least move some of these initiatives forward. Like right now, with the way the government is, between the House and the Senate and the press, like we're just going to be stuck.
And you know, you've been very critical of the Biden administration on lots of levels, and I agree with you on most of them. But Joe Biden's strategy has been, don't judge me against the almighty, judge me against the alternative. And that's I think that's a winning strategy. Like, okay,
I don't know if it is, though, because people, like, look, you know.
I mean, it's almost like I suck, but I suck less than.
Well, I heard a great analogy last night, and it's, we have a situation with Trump and Biden of the, what did he say? He said the resistible object and the movable force. You know, okay. Like, and I was like, is so good because, like, neither one of these guys, there's not a mandate for Biden across the country. There's not a mandate for Trump. Neither one of their numbers look great. You know, like, Biden is, you know, Trump is gaining ground with the Black and Hispanic community. Biden is losing ground with the Black and Muslim community for various reasons, right? Between Gaza and between just, like, there's a myriad of reasons why both these guys are losing, gaining ground, whatever, but none of it is creating a mandate for either. And I really, you know, like, I don't think you can say, you know, I a couple weeks ago I said, yeah, you know what, I think that Biden is going to win this. Here's the reality. I don't know. There's not a good read on it. I think we're still too far out. I think once you get to September, you'll have a better idea of what's real, because you still got people out there talking about third party. Right. Like, and you're I use you as an example of third party voter, right? Like, you're dead set on third party 5 months out from the election. I'm voting for Gary Johnson. I'm voting for Jill Stein. I'm voting for Cornel West. I'm voting for Robert Kennedy Jr. Right. Like, that's, you know, that's the in vogue thing, especially if you consider yourself a, you know, center left progressive sort of thing. Like, I can't do any of this. I'm going third party. No, the fuck you're not. Right? You're not. You're gonna vote for Biden. Look,
we've had this
not, and this is not no, you, no, but
it,
I'm just saying.
It is me. Well, and it's fair. You know, said I'm using you as an example.
I mean, like,
so use me as an example.
Right, because and right now, you got a lot of people talking about Robert. Like, listen, people, that dipshit is talking about Aaron Rodgers as vice president. Right? What? Come the fuck on. Right, but okay, fine. Do your little thing, right? Have your little thing that you did, that you talk about at Starbucks with your man buns and all that other nonsense, right? In the end, right, you're gonna cave, and you're gonna vote for Biden.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
I'm telling you right now. You know, I can't stand. Look, well, here's the thing. I don't like Biden. Right.
You've been clear.
Shouldn't have been president. I don't think he should have been vice president. I don't think he should be president again. But I gotta vote for him because I don't have a better fucking option. Trump is garbage. Kennedy is a joke. Like, I'm not voting for Cornel West, right? Like, Cornel West, and it, here's the problem, though. While we're not going to see that, like, Robert Kennedy is showing that he has, like, 20% of the vote right now, which is absurd. He doesn't, right? He won't. But what could be a problem is, you know, guys, like, if Kennedy and Cornel West continue to sort of make their push, right, if those guys combined, you know, over the course of the entire, or over the, looking at the whole country, if they combine, take, I don't know, 4% of the vote, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Either guy, I don't know for who, right? Because, I think they could pull votes from either.
I do think that probably more gets pulled. Robert Kennedy probably pulls from Trump more than he pulls from Biden. But that's speculation. I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea. It's going to have an impact if they continue, again, not a huge impact, but enough, because I think the election ultimately is going to be close between Biden and Trump.
Sure.
And so a little bit from you know, the small percentage that might go towards a Cornel West and a Robert Kennedy in such a weird time could impact it. But I think we're at a point where, like, the polling isn't telling us what it used to tell us. Like, the polls aren't nearly as accurate. They're very partisan.
I'm not sure people are honest.
Right. Well, that's the polls are partisan. I don't think that the means and methods are the most effective. I don't think that people are completely honest. And I don't think that you're really going to get a real picture of where people are until you get really down to the wire. And I just think it's probably just going to be really close, and we're going to see what happens. And I think that no matter what, if it's close, you know, Trump is going to claim that it's rigged. He's already said it.
Yeah.
Right? If it's close, it's rigged.
According to Trump. Even if it's not close, it's rigged.
Right. Well,
if he doesn't win, it's rigged.
If I think he'll still say it's rigged if he wins and it's close, because he's smart enough to make that point, right? Like, so, and they're already saying at the RNC, right? Like, he's got his daughter-in-law or whatever that's you know, basically, you know, part of the head of the RNC, and I think that's a little bit overblown, right? So typically what happens when you've got a decisive nominee like that, right, they tend to move into a number of key positions in the political party, right, which is the Republican or DNC, right, like that nominee, like they move their own people into that position. A great example is Ronald Reagan's daughter, who she was on the Love Boat. Morgan Reagan,
sure,
or Megan
on the
Reagan.
Love Boat. Jeez.
Either way, she was on the Love Boat, but like when, you know, Reagan kind of got the nomination and was making the push, like she moved into a lead role at the RNC, right? So this isn't new. This happens, and Reagan and Trump, they're not the only ones to do this, right? Is she qualified for that position? Probably not, but in reality,
what is qualified?
Who the fuck
for that
is?
Position,
what's
right.
the definition of qualification? So I think people are putting a little too much on that, but there are real questions about how they go about doing their business, right? So are they going to spend all their money on Trump? And we know that they fired most of their field operations, right? Like, so by them firing their field operations, like, who's going to be the ones on the ground sort of convincing the independents and keeping the Reagan Republicans on board, right? Like, if you don't have anybody in the field, I don't know who's doing that. And if you're diverting money from everybody else in the Republican Party to Trump because of his legal fees, and they said they're not going to pay legal fees, but they are going to support Trump, then you still have a problem, right? Because Trump is the only one on the ticket.
Well, you bring up the legal fees, and that's a huge issue because...
Don't transition there, though. I'm not done.
Okay.
Because, well, this is like... You got to look at the big picture when it comes to this, right? Because think about this. In 24, Trump is the only Republican that's on the ballot, right? You've got Senate seats. You've got congressional seats that all need support from the RNC. They need money, and they need people to be able to work the doorbells and work at events and all that other stuff. They fired the field office, right? They're behind on fundraising, right? Joe Biden is north of $100 million in his campaign. Donald Trump is at $40 million, right? So Biden has got him like 3-1, right, in terms of money right now.
I wish that didn't matter, but it does.
It totally matters, right? TV, radio.
Right.
And
Trump also has detractors from outside of the Biden camp. I mean, the Lincoln Project has been putting out savage ads, just trashing Trump and telling the truth. But anyway, they have been, there are people in who are old school conservatives who are like, we need to stop this guy. And
yeah, I mean,
some people are getting pulled away from Trump votes because of that.
And for me, I'm looking at the dollars, all right? I'm looking at the money and the finances, and that's the part that really has my eye. Because if you go back 2016, what did Trump run on? He ran on the concept that he couldn't be bought as a politician, right? Because, you know, like, he was so wealthy, he was so rich, that he was uncorruptible, right? And sure. Now in 2024, you know, he's basically open to the highest bidder. Right, I mean, he literally had Mark Levin saying, you know, going out trying to recruit billionaires to pay off some of these judgment debts or to loan him money to pay, you know, to pay these debts of, you know, $500 million, $90 million, all this other shit.
He's got a $500 million bond he has to come up with in I think it's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow, right? And he's looking at different, he's trying to take, he's, you know, everything from trying to take Truth Social public, right, to being a public traded entity. You know, you saw the thing where he's trying to sell the gold shoes.
I didn't see that.
You know, like they're trying to, again, pump up, you know, his net worth, you know, on Wall Street. So, you know, he could leverage money in different ways. Like they're trying to do a number of different things. And it's just such a different song from 2016 to where I'm uncorruptible because I'm so rich to, like, basically a fire sale, you know, where he's trying to, you know, sell anything and everything so he can get money. And, look, even if you're a Trump supporter, if you just step back and, like, look, is that really someone in that position, is that who you really want to be the leader of the free world, the leader of the country, right? Someone who is in such a desperate financial situation that you have to start to wonder how they're going to go about paying this without going afoul of the law. And you can sit there and say, oh, well, it's a witch hunt and the government's going after him. Like, yeah, it is, right? Like, he brought a lot of attention to himself, you know, intentionally saying, I'm going to piss off these groups of people. I'm going to piss off this part of the country. I'm going to piss off, and I don't care. No one can hold me accountable. I'm above the law. I'm super rich, right?
I deserve immunity.
Right. Like, I mean, he's going out talking about, like, and look, you can say that, but understand that then there, for every action, there is a reaction, right? And you can sit there and say, well, he's got free speech. Sure. Free speech is a thing, right? But we also have laws, right? And he constantly ran right up to the line of the law and rubbed his toe on that line, sometimes stepped over it, sometimes just short of it. But he put himself in a position where he got additional scrutiny. And yeah. You could sit there and say, because here's the thing. The argument is people get away with this all the time. Just because people get away with it doesn't mean that it's not a crime. Right? It's like, well, how come they get away? Because those motherfuckers didn't draw attention to themselves like he did.
I mean, I've used this analogy multiple times with multiple people, maybe on the show. If you drive 40 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour speed zone past the police station, you're probably not going to have an issue. If you drive 40 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone past the police station while blaring fuck the police and giving the double middle finger, they're going to go, fuck y'all. You broke the law. And so you want to showboat in front of authority, authority's going to step up and say, payback time.
Yeah, I mean, no, you know.
Have I said that on the show before? No, I said it to you, but
no, you actually haven't said either of those on the show or to me, and that's actually a good analogy. I give you credit for that. But so exactly the point there, and people could, if your argument is, again, the other people are getting away with it, they're just going out, they're just targeting Trump because he's Trump. Well, again, that doesn't mean that what the others aren't doing, what the others are doing, is not a crime, right? And the other kind of. The other thing about that is that, look, people go down for financial crimes for a lot of different, like, case fraud. Like, it happens every day in New York.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you can go down the, like, there are, I mean, hundreds, thousands of cases of fraud, right, that civil, criminal, right? Like, they do go after the shit on a pretty regular basis, but you don't hear about it because, like, it's not newsworthy. Right. Like, I mean, it's companies that you don't know, names that you don't know. So, like, but here's the thing. They are covered in the news. You just don't pay attention to them because you don't know them. Because
it came on at 12:30 in the afternoon on CNBC.
Right. It's
Wolf of Wall Street shit.
And it's just like, look, I mean, even that story, right? Like, I mean, that's a story of fraud and everything else that no one really paid attention to when it was happening in real time.
Then
they made a movie out of it, and it's just like, oh, my God, right? But that shit all happened, and no one really had any idea that was happening.
And Trump is a Grenada.
Right. So, the movie. Yeah. So then... So now here's the deal with Trump. Like, Trump is doing things that pressed right up against the line of legality. They're getting the additional scrutiny. It has gotten him into a position where he's been sued. He's been criminally charged, right? Because he did that to himself. This didn't have to be this way, right? He could have came in if he literally talked half as much as he did and just kept his mouth shut for half the time, right? Then he probably
knows with authority.
He probably isn't in this position, but he got himself in this position because he couldn't shut the fuck up, right? Because his ego was so big. Because he started, he didn't have professionals around him. He had a bunch of yes men. He had a bunch of people with these absurd agendas, the Steve Bannons, the Stephen Millers. Apparently he's got a thing with bad Steves. Maybe I'm one of them. I don't know.
I've accused you of a lot of things, but being pro-Trump
right.
is... I mean, so, you can shit on Biden all you want.
Yes,
you're really
I'm not pro-Trump by any stretch of the imagination. But the point is, Trump got himself into this situation. And, you know, he's got a money problem. You know, I said he's, you know, only got $40 million in his campaign, like war chest right now. You know, he's got this $500 million bond that he's got to pay. And people are like, oh, that's ridiculous. Again, it is, but he put the target on his back, right? And he inflated his numbers up. And again, he's the one who said, he's so fucking rich, right? Well, here you go. Pay it. Oh, you can't. Right? Well, it's well, no, who could pay that? Mike Bloomberg could pay it.
Elon Musk could pay it.
Bezos could pay it. I don't know if Elon Musk could pay it. Like, Elon Musk, the way his shit is tied up, I don't know. But, like, yeah, Jeff Bezos could pay
it. But your point is that you're not as rich as you claim to be.
Exactly.
And that has
Warren
been
Buffett could pay it.
Warren Buffett could sneeze it.
Right. Like, literally, he would shart it.
I didn't need to go there.
Right?
And
like,
that sound
I mean,
effect didn't help either, by the way.
Bill Gates could pay it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you just go down the list. Like, this is the people who we don't even know. Right? Like, names that we don't know. Like, I could just go down the list of billionaires, right? And then just check off of people who could pay this.
Most of without... the owners of NFL franchises could
right.
pay it.
You know? So, it's just... Daniel Snyder could pay it, given the amount of ridiculous money he just got for the selling the Washington Redskins. Or the... Commanders.
How dare you?
But again, like, the issues with Trump are very real when it comes to his finances. And it'll be interesting to see how this kind of all goes down. You know, Letitia James is not fucking around. So, like, when you go to, like, in a civil judgment, like, when we're talking about forfeiture of assets, right, and confiscation of assets, that are located in a different jurisdiction, you have to make that judgment basically domesticated in the different jurisdictions that the assets are in, right? So there's a process of doing that. So, Jim, you're found liable for this, but you've got a house down in Florida. But you were the judgment came against you in Cleveland. So what I would do was then I would take my judgment for you in Cleveland and I would domesticate it down in Florida, and that would be the preemptive move before I could take control of those assets. Letitia James is doing that in Westchester County in New York and New Jersey and down in Florida because she is fully intending on executing those judgments for him to pay this debt, right? So Trump is in scramble mode. Right. No matter what he tells you, like the reason why he's trying to take truth social public, right, is because he thinks that. But like, that's not going to happen fast enough to stop this.
First of all, leave my Florida properties alone.
Okay. Well, you know, but he is in some serious trouble here, and he doesn't have a ton of recourse. And I just, unless somebody comes in to save him, which someone could. Right, because there's value in coming and jumping in to save him, right? Because if you jump in and save him, and he owes you, and he does happen to get in the White House,
all right, there's an opportunity for
there's a huge opportunity, yeah, and that's not a joke, and that's not even Trump's. I mean, it's Trump's fault because he's in this financial situation, but that's how the system works, right? Someone's going to look at that and see it as an opportunity. $500 million is my ticket to the White House and having control and getting what I want.
Which is ironic because they claim that Biden, Hunter Biden, used that kind of influence to get money in Ukraine, and now Trump is potentially going to try to use it to get money domestically.
Yeah. I mean, and look, and who knows? I mean, the money may not even come from somewhere domestic. Right? I mean, because they're
which
not
is
even,
a bigger problem.
Right, which if is it, a much bigger problem, right? If that money is coming
from Saudi Arabia
from,
or Russia, right? I'm very much more concerned.
China?
Oh, are they doing shit that's shady because I haven't paid attention.
Right, but I mean, like, think about it. Like, he's already done shady shit with China. That whole thing with Ivanka getting the trade, you know, getting those patents and it, like, there's stuff. If you,
I was being snarky, but right.
Yeah, I don't know. So the thing with Trump, he's got things going on. So we talked, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, yeah. Candace Owens, fired from the Daily Wire.
Fill me in on this, because I've not paid attention to her in months.
Yeah, so I just saw that she got fired from the Daily Wire. Daily Wire is, Ben Shapiro and somebody else. But Candace Owens, kind of jumped on the scene as being this sort of black woman that was, anti-black and very much MAGA and, very okay with, Hitler and, slavery and everything else. But she gets fired from the Daily Wire, I think, because of her stance on Israel and Jews. And Ben Shapiro is a Jew and did not take too kindly to that. And so Candace Owens is now in this weird sort of limbo because she's out from the Daily Wire. I don't know where this puts her with Turning Point and sort of PragerU and MAGA and all that sort of stuff. She's doing this weird sort of tap dance. Like, she's now kind of, there's no respect for black women in the workplace and all this other stuff. And it's like, are you serious? So it'll be interesting to see how she lands. Because ultimately, look, some white organization, whether it's progressive or conservative, is going to pay Candace Owens to be a mouthpiece because she gets attention, right? She's an attractive woman who says whatever she needs to say to get attention. Someone's going to pay her, right? And so she's not going to go away, whether it's Tucker Carlson or Elon Musk or some other organization. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see her ending up on the Young Turks.
That would surprise me. Don't project.
I'm not projecting,
I'm
sure it would surprise you. It wouldn't surprise me because, once you see who the Young Turks are, you know who they are.
Oh, I do. I'm not a total fanboy.
For a while.
I was definitely for a while.
But, it's obvious who Sinkunger is and who, whatever the girls, Anna Kasparian. There's some showmanship there, and I don't think that I'm sure they would feign all this disgust, but it wouldn't surprise me if she ended up there. I'm not saying she will. I haven't heard rumors, but I could see that being the type of thing. And
unfortunately, this is going to become a "I told you so" for you to me, because you have no risk, and fucking years ago.
I have no risk, and I've got a good track record.
We made a bet years ago that Beto O'Rourke would be a prominent figure in the Democratic Party, and I said I would bash a hole in the wall of our studio if that happened.
Yes.
Our walls are intact.
It was a bad bet by you.
And it was a no-win bet for me, and this, if I was putting anything in this, it would also be a no-win bet for me, because she could end up there. I'm not saying she will, but if she doesn't, it's no big deal.
No, I'm not hanging my hat on that. What I'm saying is she's going to land somewhere.
Sure.
Right? Someone's going to pay her because of the attention that she brings, not because of her great insight, right? Now, I could see a left-leaning group like them bringing her in, willing
to... As a counter-voice or whatever.
Well, one, as a counter-voice, but one, because she also brings the insight of the other side, right? And sure. But I don't think that there's not a ton of substance to the other side, so how much insight are you actually going to get? But I think that someone like them could see a value in bringing her in. Now, is it the sort of thing would that drive Anna Kasparian out or Sinkunger out in protest? I don't think have the spine for that. Right. But that's the sort of marriage I could see happening with her. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the Young Turks, but I could also see her landing with a Tucker Carlson or something along those lines.
I see that being very...
Yeah, but probably. I also don't know if Tucker really wants to share space with a black woman. If you think about his rhetoric, right, that would really kind of be against a lot of the shit that he's talked about, right?
I see both sides of that, though, right?
The strong white alpha male that he's not.
He's a beta bitch, but I said Tucker Carlson's a beta bitch, and I stand by it, but I can see him using that as a springboard to look at me. I'm not this guy.
He doesn't need that, though. Why does he? He doesn't need to not be that guy, right? Like, he's doing just fine as that guy. All right.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, no, I mean, no, just think about it. Like, I mean, like,
I'm just saying that I could see him trying to use that. We have seen worse decisions made in media.
Yeah, for sure. Kate Middleton comes out and announces that she has been being treated for cancer. Now, this is something that I wish her the best, but I don't necessarily care about. I just am mentioning it because it's such a big story. She had been out of the public eye for some amount of time. People on the internet, being people on the internet, made up some really nasty stories that Prince William had killed her, that she had botched plastic surgery, that she was anorexic, that she was leaving him, that they were divorced, all this, you know, all the Inquirer gossipy type thing. And then I think they put out a video or a picture that was like heavily edited doctored, and then that didn't help. So now she's got to come out and sit on a park bench and tell everyone that she's got cancer, and it's this whole thing. And then, you know, like, look, again, I wish her the best. I hope she recovers, makes a full recovery. That is, you know, cancer is terrible. We need to find a cure, blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. But again, like, look, you're a part of the royal family. The royal family, in my book, fucking sucks, right? I like Prince Harry because basically he married a black girl and moved the fuck out, right? So, yay, Harry. But the rest of, like, the family's fucking creepy, incest. You got the one involved with fucking Jeffrey Epstein. You know, they killed Princess Diana. She was, like, the only, like, good thing about all of them, and they killed her. I don't have any sort of respect for those people. You look at what they did. Like, I mean, you know, there's a reason why, you know, Queen Elizabeth used to fly over the place and go to Jamaica and all that, because they ruled those places and enslaved those people and abused the fuck out of those people, right? They suck as a family, right? Like, we broke away, right, from their rule. We fought this thing called the Revolutionary War because they were assholes, right? Why we suck their dicks the way we do now, I do not understand. They fucking suck. I hope the woman recovers, but fuck you, Kate Middleton, right? Like, what are we doing?
I will be, all right, so as you know, and our audience may not, I've spent most of the last several months in a hotel room in Baltimore. And I wake up watching...
Masturbating furiously.
Why? Why would you go there? There's no curiosity at all. All right, Steve, I'm going to cut your fucking mic if you do that again. But I can do that. I have that power. Here we go. Steve's mic has been cut.
But these mics are so good, they can still hear me.
Yes, okay, fine. Anyway, I have spent so much time in hotel rooms, and my entertainment slash television options are minimal. And as soon as they start talking about the royal family, I'm like, next, South Park.
Yes.
Whatever. South Park, by the way, fucking
South
great.
Park talking about the royal family, then it's fantastic. I will listen
but
to it.
But my point is, I don't give a fuck either. I don't know why anyone does. I have no ill will towards Kate Middleton or Prince Harry or Prince whoever the fuck or King or Queen, whatever. King is Charles? Is he king right
yeah,
now?
Yeah. Okay. He also has
Who gives a fuck? I don't care.
And it's weird too. Like, all right, look, I get the little girls. Like, my daughter, she's 9. Like, when the whole thing with Meghan Markle and Harry getting married, she wanted to see the pageantry, right? And I get that for little girls, you know, that are obsessed with princesses, or I guess your little boy, if he's into it or whatever, wants to be a king or a prince or something. I don't know. It's fine for little kids, but full grown ass adults. Who like set their DVR?
CNN and MSNBC and right. Fox should like, give no fucks.
But they cover this shit, and I get that they're an ally now, but I just find it bizarre that you've got, you know, grown ass adult men and women that are, you know, glued in the U.S. that are glued into everything that happens with these people, right? And like are rooting for them, and you know, it's a bizarre infatuation that we have, and. I don't have a good explanation for it, but anyway, best wishes to Kate Middleton. You know, fight the good fight, but your family sucks that you married into. Sorry. Be nice to your sister-in-law, Megan. She's hot and needs you to be nice to her.
Okay, you should stop on this issue.
Why? Did I say anything that was wrong? Is Meghan Markle hot?
She is. Oh, Meghan Markle is definitely hot.
Should Kate be nice to her?
Yes.
Right? Do okay. I want Kate Middleton to get better?
Sure.
And does her family suck that she married into?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I didn't say you were wrong. I said okay. You stop. Because I could not give any fewer fucks.
Speaking of the royal family, they still have some pull in Canada, right? And the Canadians Toronto.
Boy, that was a tough transition.
No, but I mean, look, am I wrong?
No, Steve, you're not wrong.
Okay, thank
you. You're just an asshole.
So the Canadians in Toronto have been dealing with car thefts, and it has, you know, reached a fever pitch. And the Toronto police put out a statement to its residents saying that, hey, look, well, car thefts and break-ins have been the issue. So the police put out a statement that said, hey, for your safety, your best bet, leave your car keys near the front door, out in the open, where thieves can easily access them to reduce conflict and confrontation, and it's safer for you and better for everybody involved.
All right, so I currently have a vehicle in a hotel parking lot in the outskirts of Baltimore, and I got into an Uber to get to the airport, and I was freaking out because I didn't know if I'd locked my car.
Okay.
And so I literally was thinking, like, if I didn't, and I'm in a, you know, low crime neighborhood, I'm not really too worried about it, but I'll be back there tonight at about 7 p.m. And I'm
It's a black Ford Explorer, by the way, with tinted windows and black rims.
It's none of those things, but thanks. You fuck. You suck so much.
That's actually, I don't. I didn't actually give your actual car. It wasn't even close.
Well, good.
Jesus Christ.
So it's
joke killer.
Reverse intel. Anyway, I literally, as I was in my Uber heading to the airport, I was like, fuck. If I left this thing unlocked, I'd rather someone just opened up and saw my dirty clothes and whatever I left behind and didn't break a fucking window than smash a window to find out that there was nothing of value. And that's what the Toronto police are trying to say. You look like you're in agony hearing this, but...
Bro, no, they're not. Like, think about what they're saying. They're not saying leave your car unlocked, leave your car unlocked, leave the keys in the ignition. That's not what they're saying. They're saying take your keys in your house and then leave them somewhere where someone who breaks into your house can easily access your keys.
Okay, no, that's not what I was saying at all.
Yeah, right? Like, so I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay.
Right? Like, so I do have issues with this, right? Like, because you make this statement as the police, right, which sends a message to car thieves and...
criminals, petty criminals, sure.
Burglars.
Burglar, that's a great word, by the way.
Hamburglar. Cock burglar.
Stop.
But you send this message out, and I feel like it's the wrong message that should be coming from law enforcement, right? Because is that encouraging criminals to break into people's houses and see who left their keys accessible to them? Right, it's just like, oh, well, there's keys here. What else is there here? I'm going to take this, this, and this, and then I'm going to go steal your car. Right, and they're telling people not to engage. And look, you may think this is a good idea. I do not think it's a good idea. I don't want to encourage someone to break into my house. I don't want someone in my house. And I'm not going to make things easier for them to do so.
Well, and I think there's a huge difference between stealing from a vehicle. Like I said, my truck is currently in Baltimore. If it gets broken into, I'll be pissed, but I'm not going to feel threatened or violated. Coming to my house...
That's bullshit.
What's that?
Someone breaks into your car, you absolutely feel violated. All right.
You know, I feel violent. You're right. And it's actually happened to me and to you.
In
this neighborhood.
My truck got broken into in your fucking driveway. This is years ago. Remember they stole my cigars out?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Well, it happened to me on my street, right in front of my house. Yes. It happened to you. All
right. Right. It happened to me in my own house, in my driveway when I lived over here.
Yeah. Your Crown Royal bag full of quarters got yanked.
Yeah. And my watch.
And your watch. And my watch, by the way. Yeah. Remember, you were going to get my battery replaced for me. inside baseball. But, yeah. I mean, that was a $300 watch. It was a nice watch.
Yeah.
So, all right. You're right. I would still feel violated. But there's a big difference between going to my vehicle... Come to my house, I'm going to shoot.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's just the thing. Why would you encourage someone, like, you're literally encouraging thieves to go into people's houses to check to see if they listen to what you told them to do.
Right.
And then once they're in, it's not like they're just going to go open the door and be like, oh, they didn't leave their keys. I'm just going to close the door behind me and go out quietly. Right? Like, I mean, you're encouraging people, like...
You're right.
That to me is the opposite thing. And I'm not saying that it needs to be a violent interaction and you need to, like, come out guns a-blazing, right? Because now, what would I do in that situation? One, I'm not going to leave my keys where you can easily get to them, right? Like, I'm not going to do that. Two,
you also have two Rottweilers.
Yes, like the first thing you're going to have to deal with are my dogs, which that's not going to be ideal for you, right? Then you're going to have to deal with me, right? Assuming that you get past the dogs. And that
but
is not
going to be.
But my
situation is very different.
Your situation is very different. But my point is, you're not walking into my fucking house and taking my goddamn car keys. Fuck you and fuck the Toronto police. It's just not going to happen. Right? Like, this whole thing of non-confrontation has gone too fucking far. Right? You guys are just, you've gone too fucking far with this. Right? And I'm just telling you, it is going to backfire on you. Right? Like, no, you can't fight, you can't beat everybody up. I'm like, okay, all right, let's do it your way. Right? Now, and more, now, this, we literally have the police telling people, make it easier on the thieves when they break into your house. It's better for you if you do it that way. It's just safer. You won't get hurt. Like, this is fucking insane. It's gone too fucking far. I'm sorry. Call me a psycho, call me a wannabe tough guy, whatever you want to fucking call me. But when you have law enforcement telling you, hey, make it easier for the people who are going to violate your home, they're going to cross that threshold into your castle, you don't engage them. You make it easier for them to take, right, like the most valuable asset that you have other than your fucking home. Take your car. Just let them do it. Figure it out through insurance, because insurance companies are awesome to fucking deal with.
And I will back you up by saying that as much as you want to paint me as, you know, keep the peace, libtard, whatever you want to call me, you come into my fucking house, you're looking at the wrong end of a 12-gauge.
But what I'm saying is that that mentality is born from the, you know, if you can't settle it with words, then you're not a whatever, a civilized, and like we're at a point where, fuck it, then I'm just not civilized.
Well, I think we've established that.
Right, like, I'm just not civilized. All right, because
Steven, let's move on to sports.
No. This is fucking important, man. Like, agreed. I mean...
Well, we're on the same page.
Like, I mean, and this is not just Canada. Like, this is some dumb shit that they would say in fucking California or Portland or Seattle or New York. And, like, we see shit like this in New York, right? Like, I mean, you've got a squatter situation in New York right now where people are going into people's homes in New York, right, that they don't own. And then they're just staying there. And then the owners are saying, like, hey, and it's squatter's law, and it's stupid. So all they need to do is just change what the fucking squatter's law are. But you've got people just going into people's homes saying, yeah, this home's mine now. Right? The owner comes and says, get the fuck out. And they're like, well, you have to give them a 30-day eviction notice. And people are like, fuck you. It's my house. I paid for it. Right? Or it was handed down to me.
See, in New York, it's way worse than that. And I know this from a personal experience because I have a friend who has a property on the lake, on Lake Erie, outside of Buffalo, and literally, someone moved in, I think using, what's the, Airbnb or whatever, and they literally just said, we're not leaving. Mm-hmm. And they have stuck around for 18 months.
Yeah.
And again, I'm libtard guy. I'm the person that people blame, but I know a person personally who lives next door to the situation. And they're being told by the state of New York, well, because of COVID, you can't do this. And they're like, okay, but this person agreed to stay here for a week and they're just staying and we can't get them to leave. And New York State's saying, yeah, you can't. That's fucked up.
And this is a problem. And this is the sort of thing that hurts Democrats. This is the sort of shit that gets blasted all over conservative news and this conservative media. And what the fuck is the argument? Right? Like, right. And that's the sort of shit that they hang their hat on. Right? And people see it. Right? And it's just like, do you have an answer for this? And, you know, because the people in New York, the legislature, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? Right? And so, what I'm saying is, like, you can't just wipe this stuff under the rug and, like, oh, it's only in Canada. No, it's only in New York. Right. It's only in Portland. It's only in Seattle, right? Like, that number is starting to grow, and it's problematic. And that's we've swung too far left, right? I'm sorry. When you're telling people, hey, just make it easier for people when they break into your house, not, hey, let's stop people from breaking into people's houses and stealing people's cars. You know, like, let's get more aggressive about that part. Like, well, we can't figure out how to deal with that, so just make it easier for them. When that becomes, right? Like, because here's the thing. It's not better for you. Like, the person's not just going to walk in and take your keys and leave. They're going to walk in, and they're going to try to get whatever
Cheerio.
They can. Right? Like, they're fucking, they're thieves. They're criminals. This doesn't make it better. And you're putting people's lives at risk. Right? Like, you know, Canada has a strict no-gun policy. They're very anti-confrontational. They're very anti-violence. But clearly, you've got a crime problem. Right? Clearly, you've got people who don't listen to your laws. Clearly, you've got people that are willing to violate other people and their privacy and their ownership rights to take from them. So you got a fucking crime problem. Now, you can sit there, and if you think that this is going to result in less people being harmed, then okay, good luck with that. But then what are you going to start to do when you start to have confrontations? When you have someone who just happened to get up to go to the bathroom or just wanted to go get a cup of water, and then so-and-so, like, there's a fucking thief in their kitchen taking their car keys. How do you think that that's going to go down? They're going to slap five and just be like, hey, glad we did it this way. See you later, right? I don't think that that's how that's going to fucking go, even in fucking Canada. So at some point, like, there's got to be some sort of resistance put up to fucking bad people. Right, you can't just legislate everything away with these progressive policies and assume that, like, well, it's all because people were raised in bad situations. So if we fix these socioeconomic things, like, we've always had crime. Good times and bad, you're going to have bad people, and you have to deal with them in a certain way. All this administrative social worker bullshit isn't working. We need some of it, but at the point of attack, sometimes you just got to be able to really use force on force. And that's the part, like, I'm not saying let's get rid of all social, you know, economic ways to deal with crime. I'm a proponent of it. But when crime is staring you in the fucking face, you need something better than the police telling you to make it easier on the bad guy. That's my point here.
I'm not going to push back. All right, we should wrap this up. Do you want to do sports or do you want to call it a day?
Let's call it a day. NCAA tournament. I got to be honest. I don't know. I have not. I did not follow college basketball much, other than UMass this year, and I followed, you know, the Caitlin Clarks and some of and the LSU women and all that stuff because those are captivating stories. So I didn't even do a bracket this year, but I did. I bet I've won on two parlays so far. One was for North Carolina, Iowa State, and Creighton to all cover, and they all did. And so that was a nice winner for me. And then I had another parlay on the first night it was a three-leg parlay. One was spread, one was money line, and I think one was another money line that hit for me. So,
well, good for you. I did not make any money, but I did have a blast watching Dayton come back in a furious comeback. They were down like 17 points against Nevada, and I think they lost yesterday. So,
yeah, frustrating. Yeah, I mean, you know why that's frustrating? Because Dayton and Duquesne are both in the Atlantic 10. UMass is in the Atlantic 10. UMass didn't win a game in the A-10 tournament. They didn't even sniff the big tournament. They didn't get invited to the NIT. UMass is moving to MAC in all sports, and so, you know, our basketball people are complaining, like, oh, basketball is leaving the Atlantic 10, and it's so much a better basketball conference than the MAC, which it is, but it's just like, you guys have sucked but in
that. Is it, though?
It is. Like,
the
Atlantic 10 is a better basketball conference than the MAC. I don't think that there's much of an argument against that.
Honestly, I don't know who's in the Atlantic 10 anymore.
Right, but
it's still Temple and
oh, Jesus, so you don't know. Okay.
I don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, and now, look, I think there's an argument that the relevance of the Atlantic 10 has greatly been diminished since the late 90s, early 2000s, and a lot of that was because of the dominance of UMass in that time, but you also had Temple, but I mean, the Big East and all that other stuff kind of broke that up.
Tore it up, yep.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same appeal that it once had, but I think the move is good for our school. Men's basketball is just going to have to be pissed. Now, look, here's the deal, though. The only way this move makes sense is that if UMass in football quickly gets up to snuff. Like, they got, like, and this is no bullshit, they got to be bowl eligible. They got to be close to bowl eligible this year, meaning They need to win six games and be on the fence. They won't get one, but they need to get there. Then that first year in the MAC, it sounds crazy, but they need to win seven games and get into a bowl to make this make sense. Because once they do that, then you see the sort of shift in this thing, and then it shuts the basketball people up. If they have another 10 years of futility in football, and then the basketball team goes to shit because they can't recruit, because apparently recruits care that the MAC isn't a basketball conference, which watching Akron get drubbed the way they did in the tournament, that people, there may be some credence to that. It's going to look like a bad move. So ultimately, this is on football at the University of Massachusetts Amherst to make this move worth it and shut up the basketball people.
I'm not going to argue with you for hours about the MAC versus the Big East and all that fun stuff. And the Atlantic 10. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. X, whatever the fuck it is now. Thanks for listening. We're done.